Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. What I'd like to do, Lord willing, this year, with each time that we have our Lord's table, I'd like to just affirm a main doctrine that we believe as Bible-believing and Bible-living Christians. The Apostle Paul said to Titus, "But speak thou sound doctrine." So I would like to take the opportunity just to affirm concerning what we believe as far as the main doctrines of the Bible. Because once you have those main doctrines cemented in your mind, then you are well on the way of staying on track for God's glory. So the place to begin is to highlight what we believe about the Bible. What we believe about the Bible. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17, the Bible reads, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would now teach us from your word. Lord, help us to love and obey your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. What we believe about the Bible. Well, first and foremost, we believe that the Holy Bible is the only source of truth. All truth known to man is found within the Holy Scriptures. So therefore, we as Bible-believing Christians turn to the Scriptures as our source of faith and our basis for practice. So the Bible is our authority as Bible-believing Christians, and it is within the Scriptures that we find our source of truth. Now, note then verse number 16, the Bible reads, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." The Bible is the inspired Word of God. We believe that the whole Bible is the inspired Word of God. We do not believe that the Bible just contains the Word of God. Now, that statement can be very, very misleading. And that statement is often used by people that deny some of the supernatural elements of the Bible. So we as Bible-believing Christians believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we believe in the inspiration of Scripture. We do not just believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. Because if it contains the Word of God, then that implies that some of the Bible is not the Word of God. And therefore you leave yourself open to deny, as I've said, some of the miraculous elements of the Bible. And that is often the reason why you'll find some Christians, so-called, will make reference to the Bible as containing the Word of God as opposed to it actually being the Word of God. The word Bible just means books. You can technically have a Bible. The Encyclopedia Britannica is technically a Bible. It is a collection of books. So therefore, if you want to be exact, when you refer to the Bible, make reference to the Holy Bible. Because the word Bible does not refer to God's Word directly. It simply means a collection of writings or a collection of books. So we believe in the Holy Bible. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible teaches us all Scripture. The word Scripture is in reference to the writings, okay? So all writings in reference to the scriptures, are given by divine inspiration. So we believe, as Bible-believing Christians, that the Bible, the Holy Bible, is complete. All 66 individual books from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, is the complete canon of Scripture. It is the complete Bible. Now, 1 Corinthians, please, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 9 and 10, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And we understand as Bible-believing Christians that sign gifts were given to the early apostles and the prophets of old to confirm the Word of God. But with the completion of the Scriptures, the complete canon of Scripture, there is no need for authenticating the Scriptures. The Bible stands on its own. It is complete. And we have the complete Word of God in the 66 individual books contained within our Bible. And the Bible teaches us there in the book of Jude, verse number 3, that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Now that little phrase there, the faith, is in reference to the body of truth. So we have to earnestly contend for the body of truth. Now whenever you use the word revelation in reference to the Scriptures, we are referring to the fact that God unveils His Word. So the usage of the word Bible is in reference to the collection of books known as the canon of Scripture. The usage of the word Scriptures is in reference to the fact that the writings of Scripture, the writings contained within the Word of God. And whenever we use the word revelation, we are referring to God unveiling truth. So God has unveiled truth for us within the Word of God. So we don't need to go elsewhere to find truth. It is contained completely. All that God has for us is found within the Word of God. So therefore, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. As it reads there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's profitable for our teachings. All that we need to know are contained within the Holy Scriptures. If it's not in the Scriptures, then you don't need to know about it. Did Adam and Eve have a belly button? Well, who cares? Who cares? Were there rings in the initial trees that were created? Well, who cares? If God wanted us to know, He would have told us in the Bible. Okay? So the Bible is profitable. It gives us our teachings. The Bible is profitable because it tells us where we've strayed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We do stray. But also the Bible is profitable because the Bible corrects. The Bible teaches us how we can get right with God. I'm thankful for that. And also the Bible is complete because it instructs us on how to live a righteous life. And then in verse number 17, the Bible is able to produce maturity, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, truly, not thoroughly, truly furnished or equipped unto all good works. So the Bible is the inspired Word of God. So we as Bible-believing Christians believe in verbal inspiration. Now that's a very important word. That simply teaches that we believe that every word is inspired of God. Every it, every a, every but, all of it is needful for my spiritual maturity and for my enabling to serve God effectively. There in Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. Verse number 4. Our Lord Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." Every word. I'm thankful that my Bible is a literal word-for-word translation. The problem with the modern versions of our day is that they are not word-for-word translations. They are translated by a medium called dynamic equivalency. Might sound fancy, but it's rotten to the core. It contradicts the words of Christ, who said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." So every word in the Bible is inspired. So we believe in verbal inspiration. Let's say it together. Verbal inspiration. Every word is inspired of God. We also believe in plenary inspiration. The verbal plenary inspiration of the Word of God. The word plenary simply means absolute or complete. That is, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We believe that the Bible is absolutely complete. It is finished. It is the complete canon of Scripture. Go to Psalm 19, please. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. So we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Word of God. In other words, the Bible is complete. It is absolute. The Bible has the power to change conversion. The Bible has the power to make one wise. The Bible has the power to produce joy as we obey it. The Bible has the power to give guidance. The Bible will produce purity. And the Bible teaches us how to live a righteous life. The Bible is complete. We believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. We also believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. Let's say it together. Inerrancy of Scripture. That simply means that the Bible is without error. The Bible is without error. We believe the Bible we have in our hands is the inspired Word of God. Verbal, plenary, inerrant, without error. The Bible is perfect. Go to Proverbs, please, chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Verses 5 and 6, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." But also go over to Psalm 12, please. Back to the Psalms. Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. Verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So we believe in the inerrancy of Scriptures. In other words, we do not believe as Bible-believing Christians, and I've been a Christian since 1978, and in my years of reading the Bible, I've read the Bible no less than 30 times, I have yet to find an error in the Bible. Now, there's still parts of the Bible that I do not understand. But just because you do not understand a portion of Scripture does not imply error. It just simply means I do not understand. Is that logical and reasonable? Yes, it is. So we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, the verbal plenary, inerrant, inspired Word of God. We believe the Bible is infallible, totally dependable. The Pope is not infallible. The Bible is infallible. Okay? The Bible is infallible. In other words, totally dependable, correct in all of its judgments, in all of its teachings, in all of its wisdom. The Bible is infallible. So we believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, verbal, plenary, inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God, preserved for us. And we believe in that God has honored His Word, and we have the Word of God in our possession. As the Bible reads there in Psalm 12, verse 7, O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So we believe a mark of inspiration concerning, or an affirmation of inspiration concerning the Bible, is that God has preserved His Word. I have the Word of God in my possession. Though man is fallible, and though the devil has been active, God has preserved His Word, just like He promised to preserve His Word. So within the Scriptures we have the inerrant, infallible. Every word is inspired. It's complete. It's absolute. It's God-breathed. Now the word inspiration literally means God-breathed. That God directed these individual men to record His words. Though God used the personalities of the various authors that are ascribed to various books of the Bible, it is all the Word of God. And I liken it to the fact that God is the hand, and these authors were simply pens in the hand of Almighty God. But yet God used the personalities and the backgrounds of these men to record His Word. Some were fine point pen men. Some were ballpoint pen men. But at the end of the day, God gave us, has given to us, His Word. See? The inspired Word of God. So therefore, we reject any new revelation. So as Bible-believing Christians, we have the Word of God. So the next time somebody asks you, what do you believe about the Bible, you'll know what to say. All right? And Pastor, you might ask, well, does it really matter? Yes, it does. It does. This is very, very important. This is what we believe about the Bible. We believe in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. We believe that every word is a part of God's Word, and it's complete. And we believe the Bible is without error. It's infallible. It's absolute. And it's the Bible, the doctrines of the Bible, that unify us as a people. It's the Bible that is the point of union for you and I. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So if we don't have an agreement upon the Bible, how can we truly be unified as a people? So it's important what you believe about the Bible, because the Bible unifies us. Metropolitan Baptist Church is held in unity together because of the authority of the Bible. So provided your pastor is walking and living and teaching and guiding the church upon the tracks of the Bible, what's the problem? There are no issues. See? There are no issues. See, the Bible is our track. So the Bible keeps us on track. There in Ephesians, please, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. God has given the church gifted men to instruct concerning the scriptures. And note in verse number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith. So our unity centers around biblical truth. See, the Bible, if the Bible is our standard, then all of us will rise to the standards of the scriptures, and therefore that cultivates a spirit of unity. So as Bible-believing Christians, the Bible being the inspired Word of God, it's the Bible that unifies us as one. And God gave the church some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. See, because we're a Bible-believing church, we have doctrinal beliefs. We have a doctrinal standard. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, don't all churches? Well, in essence, they should, but you can go to many churches today, and I can assure you, you can believe what you want to believe. That's the cold hard facts. Now, in essence, you can believe what you want to believe, but the difference is, in this church, I'm going to say to you, if you don't believe that God created the world in 6 literal days, I'm going to say to you, well, why don't you go and find a church that believes what you believe? Or change over. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's a bit harsh. No, it's not harsh, that's Bible. Because Bible doctrine is the foundation for unity. So we cannot possibly have unity if one person over here believes that God created the world in 6 literal 24-hour days, then this character over here believes in theistic evolution, and this person has some other wacky idea how all things came into existence. How can there be unity? They can't. So we would gladly and nicely and very politely show them the door and say, well, you might be better off finding a church that believes what you believe. And if you can't find a church that believes what you believe, you might have a problem on your hands. I said that to one couple. I said, now what you believe is very unusual, and I challenge you to find another church that believes what you believe. And they said to me, well, we don't know of anybody that believes what we believe. And I said, well, what does that tell you about what you believe? Now you think about that, I said to this couple. See? Doctrine is important, brethren. We believe the doctrine is important. It unifies us. So if we don't have a common unity, that is our doctrine, there cannot be unity. See? This nonsense about unifying churches, that's hogwash. That's ridiculous. How can you unify a person that denies the deity of Christ? And a person that believes in the deity of Christ? A person that believes that God open up the Red Sea, and Moses led the nation of Israel on dry ground through the Red Sea. How can that person be unified with a person that believes, Moses crossed the Red Sea? There can't be unity. If they say there's unity, it's just a facade. It's not real unity. It's everybody just keeping their mouth shut and going contrary to their conscience. And I'd rather just be true to my conscience. What about you? See? So the Bible unifies us. Ephesians chapter 4, please, verse 12. The Bible is a living book. It's powerful. It's alive. It imparts life. Hebrews chapter 4, please. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick. That means it's life-giving and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is life-giving. And when you and I saturate our lives with the word of God, it will impart life. And as you meditate upon the word of God daily, you will reflect the life of God. Yes, you will, because the Bible is life-giving. Now, we don't have time concerning the many benefits of the Scriptures, but I think we can just quickly mention it is through the Bible, for example, that we have our salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Bible talks about being born again by the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. Also, the Bible provides guidance. Psalm 119, verse 105. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The Word of God, if we meditate and obey it, equals blessing and prosperity in a spiritual sense. Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. The Word of God is our sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17, it enables us to defeat the evil one. If it was good enough for the Lord Jesus to memorize Scripture, it's good enough for you and I to memorize Scripture. Let's not take that lightly, brethren, in 2012. Really, last year was a dismal year as far as Scripture memory is concerned. Dismal. Did you hear that? Dismal. I love you, I'm just telling you straight. It was dismal. We need to commit to memory the Word of God. Because we need it up here. We need it on hand. Because I doubt you and I will be clever enough or equipped enough during a moment of crisis to pull out our Bible and say, okay, where's that verse that I can use in this situation? So thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we need to commit to memory the Word of God. Let's not have another dismal year as far as Scripture memory. Amen. Let's commit to memory the Word of God. We need it. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved Word of God. And because we believe that God has preserved His Word, we believe that we have the Word of God in the King James Version. There are basically two Bibles in the world. Two families of Bibles in the world. The line from which our King James Bible comes from, and then the line from which all of the other modern versions come from. And we hold to the King James Bible because it comes from the historic Masoretic Hebrew text. And then the New Testament Greek text is what we refer to as the received text. It was that Greek text, which is the basis of our King James Bible, upon which the majority of manuscripts were collated and a Greek text was produced. So there are basically two Bibles. Now in the foyer I've got a little booklet that gives you four main reasons why we believe in the King James Bible. Let me encourage you to take one of those little booklets and read it. See? That's why we as a church, we reject all other modern versions. That includes the New King James Version. The New King James Version is a deceitful version. It claims to be based upon the same text of the King James Bible, but it's deceitful. It's based upon that text plus the other corrupt text as well. It's a meshing of the two. Of course, anybody that with a little bit of common sense, would understand why we reject the NIV Bible. So therefore, we as a church, we believe that God has preserved His Word. So therefore, we as a New Testament church will only provide, use, and promote and carry out all of our ministries with the King James Version, because we believe it is the preserved Word of God. That's important for us to see that and believe that by conviction. God places a judgment upon those that add or take away from the Word of God. Revelation chapter 22, please. Bear with me, I'm almost there. If you say amen, I'll go a little bit quicker. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them, shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. So God places a very harsh judgment upon those that add and those that take away from the Word of God. See, so with the cults of our day, they are adding to the Word of God. The modern versions of our day are subtracting from the Word of God. Though this passage of Scripture is directly in reference to the book of Revelation, the application is for the whole Scriptures. It's all the revelation of God. The Bible is eternal. It cannot be broken. So what do we believe about the Bible? Well, it's all good. But only the Bible's all good, all right? And God is good. I thought about it this afternoon. Instead of using that little phrase, it's all good, why don't you just say, God is good? God is good. That's more biblical. But of course, if you're referring to the Scriptures, I guess you could say, it's all good. We're referring to God, He's all good. God is good to all, the Bible teaches us. And we can interpret the Bible accurately when we take it at face value. Simple principle. If the plain sense makes sense, seek no other sense. Always consider the historical background. Whenever you read of a passage of Scripture, consider the historical setting. Thirdly, always consider the words. The words are the key to correct Bible interpretation. The meanings of the words. And last but not least, always consider the context. The verses before, the verses after. Alright, they are four basic principles concerning good Bible interpretation. We have God's inspired Word in our possession. May God help us to love it. And may God help us to read it. And may God help us to live by it. Because we hold in our hands the Word of God. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.